is when God tells you to do something, do it. And I know without a doubt, that there was a godly purpose in Monica's song. And I just want the person to know, and I think they know, God's telling you. God's telling you what you need to hear. I will love you for you. I'm going to begin a message today. It's a two-part message. I'm going to do part of it this morning and the rest of it next Sunday morning. And the title of it is, What Caused Me to Slip? What Caused Me to Slip? And if you read your handout, the bulletin this morning, it's kind of a little introduction to where we're going. And there are slip ups. We're going to look at this as a literal thing to begin with, but then apply it to a spiritual thing. But there are all kinds of slip ups in life. I remember several years ago when I was in high school and I was in the band, and we were down in Bowling Green at Western Kentucky at a big, what they call band days. And we were going to do a big program. All the bands would be together on the field, and each one of the bands had their own place to stand. And it had been kind of wet, rainy, and the ground was muddy. And if you've been down around Bowling Green, the campus there in Western Kentucky, you know that it's up and downhill. There's hardly any of it flat. You're either going uphill or downhill wherever you go. And so we were getting ready to go down to the football field to do the program. And there was all kinds of bands. I mean, I don't know how many, just dozens of them. And we were all crowded, and the sidewalks were full. And like I said, it had been raining. And there's this one kid. I don't know who he was. Don't remember what band he was from, but they had beautiful uniforms. And we were going down the sidewalk, going down the steps, headed towards the football field. And this boy either was running late, trying to catch up with his group, or he was just one of these kind of people that likes to be in a hurry all the time. Don't like to wait and don't like to walk behind other people. But anyway, for some reason or other, he decided that he could get down there faster by running over the hill than he could going down the sidewalk. Now, the sidewalk is just the steps going down like this. The hill I'm talking about was right by the sidewalk. I mean, you know, 3 feet. So rather than just staying on the sidewalk and going on, he just pops off to the side, and he's going to run past us all. His problem was, like I said, it had been raining. The ground was slick. It was muddy. He took about 2 steps after he stepped off the sidewalk. His feet flew out from under him, and he went as far as from here to back there where the sound booth is, right down that hill on his back with that beautiful uniform on. I was so glad it wasn't me. I was so glad that I wasn't going to have to stand in front of my band director and explain why I look like a mud man. But he slipped. And he fell. And there was a reason. Every time we slip, there's a reason. I'll tell one more slip, sliding story. When Scott was less than a year old, well, let's see, maybe he was a year old. He was born in December. We got him in March. It was the next year, December, January, February, about a year. He was about a year old. And we pastored 2 little churches up in Casey County. And what we would do is at one church, we'd have church at 10 o'clock, and the other church would be having Sunday school. Then we would jump in the car, and we'd drive to the other church, and we'd have church over there. And then the other church would have, where we left, would have Sunday school. So that way they had worship service and Sunday school every Sunday morning. And we were the ones that, you know, rushed between the two. So I was at this one. It was in the wintertime. We'd had weather sort of like what we've had here. Snow on the ground. and a little the porch was about three steps up from the ground, and a little concrete porch on the front of the church building, just a little landing, not much more than that. And for some reason or other, there was this wonderful hard layer of ice froze on that porch. And I mean, so good that you couldn't even get it off. I mean, you know, it's one of those kind of like out in front of the church here today. And when we came in, we told everybody, remember the step. Remember the ice on the porch. Be careful. So we finished up with the church service, and of course we got about 10 minutes to go about 7 or 8 miles across country to get to the other church, get there in time for service. So we, our normal procedure was grab everything, and Laverne would get her purse and the Bibles and stuff, and I'd get Scott. I'd pick him up, we'd head out the door. Went through our same procedure that morning. From the time I came in and did what I did at the church service, knowing logically, knowing had I been asked the question, is there ice on the front porch? I would have said, yes, there is ice on the front porch. It is very slick, and you need to be careful. That would have been my response. I grabbed Scott, grabbed the Bible. I headed out. I was already at the other church. In my mind, I've already left Bethlehem. I'm at Atwood Chapel. Except there was the porch. And the porch totally was not in my conscious thinking. I did like I did on any other Sunday morning. I went out that back door, I pushed that door open, I went out on that porch, headed for the car. As soon as I got on that porch, I realized, uh-oh. My feet flew out from under me. I threw Scott down the steps. I could see him bouncing. That little fella hit the porch, bounced up, came down on the next step, went head first into the wrought iron rail that come up the side of the porch. I'm going down the steps on my back, bouncing off every one of them, not thinking a thing about what's going on with me. I had my eyes on that little fella, trying to do my best to get to him. Boy, was he mad when he got to the bottom. I mean, buddy, that little face was wrinkled up, and those little, and he was, you could have heard him for a mile. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, oh, are you all right? Are you all right? I'm looking at little arms, legs, nothing. Don't see a thing that looks bad. Don't have any idea. All of a sudden, he kind of seems to get past this point. By the time we got in the car, we sit down in the car. He's sitting in his mom's lap. I look over. He's looking at me. Got on a little sock cap because it's cold. Got it pulled down, you know, tied under his chin. Looking at me like, you idiot. And then I see this, about the width of my little finger, stream of red blood come out from that sock cap right down the middle of his forehead and down his nose. And then panic set in. Jerked that sock cap off right in the top of his head, in his thick head of hair. Matted blood, couldn't see nothing, couldn't tell nothing, couldn't, so much hair you couldn't get it out of the way. It looked like somebody could have taken a spike and just drove it in top of his head. And I remembered his head hitting that rail. And I'm thinking, oh, man, did he have a concussion? Did we crack his skull? Did we puncture his skull? You know, and you hear all of that stuff. Well, anyway, he survived. But he reminds me, he wears his hair cut shorter now. You can see the scar. He reminds me of it every now and then. I said, "Do you remember it?" "No, I don't remember it, but I got proof of it." Things happen in life and we slip up. Now what we want to know is, what caused me to slip? What was going on in my life when I slipped like I did? Now some scriptures we want to read. Psalm chapter 40. I'm sure back there in the sand booth, as soon as I said Isaiah, she thought, "What?" Psalm 40, begin with verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." When the Lord brings us out of the miry clay, sets our feet on the rock, and establishes our steps, it is a testimony to many people. And that's what the writer is saying here. I waited patiently for the Lord. Most of us don't get past that part. I mean, we fell off the table the first line. Because we don't want to wait patiently for the Lord. Now as we move on to chapter 37, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or are established. Just like we said in chapter 40. Look at verse 31. "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide," or marginal reading, "slip." The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slip. Who's that? The good man that turns himself to God. None of his steps shall slip. Chapter 17, Psalms. "Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip." Now we're going to look at four things that will contribute to our slipping. But I want to call your attention first of all and talk a little bit about what I wrote in the newsletter about the slick place, the spot that the ice was frozen. Now, there's a lot of ways we can relate to that. Was the ice frozen where you slipped because of some failure on your part to repair something? In other words, did the gutter leak on the sidewalk and it froze over? And you came running out and you stepped on the ice and down you went. I'm sure in most cases that we don't go out there with a pan full of water and pour it on the sidewalk and say to ourselves, I'm going to test me. I'm going to freeze this sidewalk with ice so I can test to see if I pay attention when I come out of the house. Is that right? Most generally, it's just something we came up on that we didn't expect to be there and that we didn't necessarily want to be there, and maybe we weren't paying any attention that it was there. Let me ask you something. When do you pay the most attention to the road conditions when you're driving? When it's really, really bad, or when it's just a little bit off? It's not really dry, but it's not really wall-to-wall ice covering. More people watch really good, the worse it is. Sometimes when it's really bad. Did any of you see that? There was a little clip on one of the news stations. It was from a security camera on a street in Pittsburgh. And it was on a hillside. And the security camera was showing the street down through there. And it was back in, and they'd had some, I guess it was, but rain or what. But anyway, that street was ice covered. It was just totally covered with ice. No snow. Like the expression, black ice. And they showed some of the stuff that happened. 3 or 4 different cars during the day came up to the top of that hill where that street was, started over that hill under normal circumstances. As soon as they started, they lost control of the car. There was no stopping it. There was no getting it straight back. It just went out of control, and it came over that hill just bouncing off of the cars parked on both sides of the street. And then a little bit later, here come another one. And in a period of time there was 3 or 4 cars, and buddy, did all the cars on the side of the street take a beating. Why? Because somebody slipped at the top of the hill. Did they have anything to do with it? Did they cause the ice to be there? No. And you know, one of the things that we saw, and I'll throw this in here, this past weekend with the Being Health, is that there are things that happen in our lives that the door has been opened for it to come in, and we suffer the consequences of it because we haven't dealt with it. Did I invite the ice that caused me to slip? Or did I just step on it because it was there? But now you know, what we're going to look at is what causes us to slip. Number one, Proverbs chapter 4. And what I'm talking about this morning is what causes us to spiritually slip. We're going along, we're doing really good, and all of a sudden we fall right on our face. All of a sudden our feet fly out from under us. All at once our foot slides. Our foot slips. And we're having to deal with pain and injury. You know, at the least it hurt when we hit the ground. At the most we broke a leg or your neck. Or cracked your skull. Suffered damage from it. What caused it? Am I just at the mercy of chance and fate? Or can I take some responsibility sometimes for my own slippage, and can I do something to keep from sliding and to keep from slipping? We're going to talk about walking. We're going to talk about secure steps, established steps. I found out something the last couple of days. These shoes that I have on this morning are useless on slick ground. They are useless on that ice. I walked across the driveway this morning to go feed the dog, and I felt like I had no security. Every step was accompanied by thoughts of, watch out, you're going to fall. Watch out, you're going to fall. I have a pair of weather boots that I wore the other day. I don't know what they would do on absolute clear ice with nothing else there, but if there's a little snow on that ice, those boots will break your ankle before they'll slip. Quite a bit of difference in what my feet are shod with. We need to make sure that our feet are shod with the things of God that keep us from slipping. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. What's going to do that? Instruction. The Bible says in Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, we fall most of the time because we don't know that we're going to fall. We don't know what causes the fall. We're just going along and we don't pay any attention. You know, most people don't fall in a hole because they know it's there. They fall in the hole because they don't know it's there. But if you know it's there, you're less likely to fall in it. And so knowing the things that we need to know, the knowledge that God gives us, we've got to understand the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. We've got to use the Word of God to let us know what the terrain is like and where the slick spots are so we can stay away from them. I'm going to tell you something. You play on the creek bank. You get on the creek bank where it's slick and where it's muddy. You can try all you want to keep from falling in, but your chances of falling in get greater and greater the longer you stay there. Now, there are places in life that are like those slip slopes of the creek. And if you go there and you stay around them and you walk in those places and you hang out in those places, sooner or later, the risk gets greater and greater that you're going to slip and fall in. And we need to have the knowledge and the instruction to know where the slick spots are. We read the Bible, take it to heart, we find out where most of the pitfalls are. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God will keep our foot from being taken. That means getting your foot in a trap, getting your foot in a slick spot. Chapter 20 in Proverbs, verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? I mentioned this briefly last week, but let me say a little bit more about it. When I was talking about the thing about walking across the snow-covered field, When you watch your own steps and you try to determine which direction you're going, how straight you're walking by watching your own steps, you will wander. It is a proven fact. You cannot walk a straight line watching your feet. You've got to pick on something outside of yourself. This is outside of us. But it's our responsibility and job to get it from outside of us to inside of us. When we get that that's exterior or external from us down on the inside of us, it'll direct our steps. Many times we slip because we're dumb. We just don't know any better. I see that in the world so much, as more and more, that there's so many people out there that just don't know any better than what they're doing. They either don't know it because they haven't had a chance to learn it, or because they don't want to listen to it. I made a statement last week and when I was sharing about the fact that when you get lost, the greatest tendency that a person has to, when they stay lost, is to eventually start going in circles. And so you're going to come back on your own trail. And I don't know how many people that go through life, and one day they say, "Wow, I've been here before. Made the circle. I'm back again. Been here before." And when you get lost, you just have a tendency to go around in circles. And I said this, if you remember last Sunday, there are a few people. There are that intelligent chosen group of people that have set their eyes on God, on Jesus Christ, on the Word of God and the Kingdom of God, and are moving in that direction, and they're doing a relatively good job of staying on track. And then there is that group that have sold themselves out to the devil. They've agreed with everything he stands for, and they're absolutely on a collision course with hell, and they're making great progress getting there. And then there's the rest of everybody. The most of people. They spend their whole life going around circles because they don't know where they're going. They have no knowledge of where they're going. So we need to find out where the slick spots are. We need to find out where the rough traveling is. Let me ask you something. What do we do if we live somewhere and somebody tells us, or we know from experience, that street over there, don't go down that street after dark? You don't want to go down that street after dark. Wonder what's down there. I'm going to try it. You say, "Boy, I wouldn't. If I knew what that street was like, let me ask you something. Does everybody that goes down that street get mugged? No. Does everybody that parks their car down there get it carjacked? No. Then what's the problem? Well, Pastor, the problem is you don't never know which one it's going to be. You don't ever know which car is going to get hijacked. You don't know which person's going to get mugged. You can't take the chance. But spiritually, we take those kind of chances all the time. Somebody says, unforgiveness will kill you. Don't hold it. That's a street you don't want to go down. Yeah, but I can handle it. It won't happen to me. Let me ask you something. What kind of road? What kind of road are you on when you take that first illegal pill? Is everybody on that road get mugged? No, some of them make it through. All they did was they saw the mugger coming and they beat him through. What about the ones that didn't? We need to know, and when we know, we don't need to just ignore it. We don't need to forget. You see, I didn't ignore that ice on that porch that day at church. I just forgot about it. I knew it was there. But I got something else on my mind. When a spouse is unfaithful to their mate, and they know, that unfaithfulness, that adultery is wrong. They know it cripples and destroys families. But they do it anyway. You know why? Because they had something else on their mind at the time. They forgot that part. I forgot about the ice on the porch because I was in a hurry to get to church. That was even a good thing. And I still got hurt by it because I forgot what the situation was. And we know that holding offense and holding unforgiveness shrivels your soul, dries up your bones, destroys you from the inside out. We know that. There is no question about that. But in spite of the fact that we know it, we still can be persistent in doing it. I'm not going to forgive them. They knew exactly what they were doing. What's that got to do with it? Forgiveness is not just reserved for unintentional mishaps. Well, they unintentionally hurt my feelings, so I can forgive them. I'm not forgiving them. They intentionally hurt my feelings. They did it on purpose. What's the difference? What's the difference between taking an overdose of medicine and not realizing it or taking one deliberately? What about the consequences? If I take a lethal dose of something accidentally, is it not going to kill me because I took it accidentally and I really didn't intend to? That's why I got to watch. Why did I take it? Because either I wasn't paying any attention to what I was doing or somebody switched the medicine on me. Okay. So the one thing that causes us to slip is a lack of knowledge. The next thing, Psalm 73. I like the straightforwardness of this one. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. He's talking about being pure in heart. He basically says, I realize I wasn't pure in heart. My feet almost stumbled and my steps had almost slipped. Why? For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What will cause your feet to slip? Envy, coveting, and discontent. I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. One thing that will cause our feet to slip spiritually is we look at other people and we say, well, I don't understand how they're getting by with it. I'm better than they are. I don't understand why they're getting blessed. I know what they do. I know how they live. I know what they think. And it's just not fair. And I'm discontent with what I have, and I'm discontent with what's happening to me. And therefore, I'm not paying any attention to where I'm walking. I'm about to slip and fall because I am so upset with everybody else not having it as hard as I've got it. I just don't understand. They stand up and they give testimonies about what happened to them and how God blessed them. And here I am stuck in this thing and I can't get nothing going my way. And it aggravates me. And I'm sliding, and I don't know why. Ooh. I tell you what, I've been there. I've been on that creek bank. I've been on that thing where you get to sliding, and you realize you were sliding, and you couldn't figure out any way to keep it from happening. And you just kind of buck up waiting till you hit. A couple of years ago, we went up to Ohio to visit Jack and Patsy, Ernest. Vern and I were over there. Jack and I went fishing. Went fishing down to a neighbor's pond. Big pond, had a couple of boats. We were getting one of those boats out, just a rowboat, but we were getting that thing loose from the dock, and I got out in the back of it, and I don't know what happened. But trying to get that thing turned around there, and I got off balance. And I was going down, and I was going out of the boat. And I got all the way out of that boat, and the back of my shirt was touching the water. And the only thing that was in the boat was from my knees down. You have to see it to believe it. Jack standing on the bank looking at me. Can't do a thing. Water's neck deep. He can't get over and help me without just getting wet with me. All at once, I stopped. Now, we're talking about a rowboat sitting there in the water, not mounted on anything, just sitting there loose in the water, rocking back and forth. And I've got the bend of my leg over the edge of the boat, and my feet down in the middle of the, down in the bottom of the boat. And I know that I'm going in that lake. But I'm fighting it. I'm doing everything that I can to keep from going down in that water, but I got no thoughts in me that I'm going to be able to do it. But something, and I cannot explain it, and Jack said, I couldn't believe what I saw. He said, you were completely laid out on that water outside that boat with your momentum going down. And all of a sudden, something locked into my knees and my feet, and I raised myself back up off of that water and back into that boat. And Jack looked at me and he said, what you just did is impossible. I said, you telling me? And I do not know, apart from the hand of God, how I stayed out of that lake. Because I had slipped and I was going down. And so what I'm saying is this. There is salvation. You can be headed to the bottom and you can cry out and you can do things right and God will reverse it. But you got to put some effort. Buddy, I was putting some effort. If I'd just given in to that fall, I'd have been a wet fella. And it would have put a damper on the rest of my day's enjoyment. But my steps had nearly slipped. But it says here that envy, coveting, and discontent can cause our steps to slip. We're going to stop there for today. We're going to look at two more things next Sunday morning. Part two of what caused me to slip. But just keep in mind that if you don't know about it, you're likely to fall in it. If you refuse instruction, it'll come back on you. And if you get to looking at everybody else with envy and coveting and discontent, you're going to trip and fall. You're going to trip and fall. Let's stand. I want you to pray this with me if you want to. If you don't want to pray it with me, that's up to you and God. We're going to pray for our steps. Just repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you provided a way for me to walk in. You gave me ways to keep my steps from sliding. I thank you, Lord, for your word that guides me, that lights up my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you, Lord God, for the knowledge and instruction of how to walk, how to avoid the slippery places. Lord God, by your Spirit, encourage and prompt me to keep my eyes open and to keep my heart right so that I won't slip. Thank you, Lord God, for loving me. Lord, if I have been envious or discontent or covetous of someone else's walk with you, forgive me. And I thank you, Lord, for helping me stand upright. And though I may be falling, I call to you now. Lift me up. Put my feet on the rock. And give me strength. I thank you, Lord God, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thanks for extending it to me. Because you love me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.